Place your hand in mine. Swing your hips on my way. Cause girl, I'm only here until the morning time. So I said, place your hand in mine. Swing your hips on my way. Cause girl, I'm only here until the morning time. Take a look in your eyes and notice how everything stops around me. Arms wrapped tight around me. Sweet, sweet scent, let it linger upon me. Cause if this thing don't go as planned tonight, I need you to tell me.
What's up, everybody? This is Joel Barsky with the Ivory Chat Podcast. You were just listening to an awesome song called Morning Time Awoya by today's guest, Fia. He's an island reggae artist based in Hawaii, and we thought to give him a call just for a chat. Listen to us talk about his start in music, his TikTok videos, and much more. So enjoy our Ivory Chat as we say what's up to Fia. Fia, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Joel?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm glad that you're here on the show. I'm a big fan. I believe you're based in Hawaii. So how's the whole quarantine situation been for you?
For me, it's been good and bad. I am a father of three. I'm married. And, you know, I just taking this time, this whole quarantine, to just kind of spend time with my quality time with my family, of course. Taking a break from the music scene, the tours and the traveling, just kind of taking it all in. Plus, I just had my newborn, so it's been a blessing. But I do miss the stage. That's probably the bad part. I miss performing, man.
Speaking of this whole COVID situation, before the pandemic, you actually were wrapping up a headlining tour that you had in New Zealand, Australia, and the Cook Islands. So how was that experience?
That's super humbling, man. Just to see the different cultures, you know, how people... They accepted us as soon as we landed, and just it's I love New Zealand. It's been one of my favorite places ever since the first time I went back in 2018, I think it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just going there, I just love the way that they represent their culture, and it's similar to like here in Hawaii, how it's all about love. It's aloha, you know what I mean? So right. I really respect that about that. It shows why everybody loves to go to New Zealand, you know?
What's your favorite part about New Zealand?
The food. Man, the food. It has to be the food. I probably go up there and gained like 30 pounds before I got back home. Not even lying.
There's a burger joint I love in New Zealand. I think it's called Burger Fuel. You've heard it?
Yeah.
I love Burger Fuel. Oh my God, man.
Yeah, they have good food everywhere you go. Like, I'm a sucker for lamb. I love lamb. So,
Yeah.
They have probably the best quality of that, man. That's like amazing.
Oh, yeah. When I've been there, yeah, that was what they're known for, is just clean lamb. I've been on the countryside, so I saw a lot of lamb there. But, oh, yeah,
right.
The best. And it's like grass-fed meat. So, like,
the
stuff over there, man.
Even their dairy products. I love their dairy products. It's amazing over there. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not lying. New Zealand's great. And I saw this year you were actually supposed to open up for Chloe Kai for their 10th anniversary tour. Has that schedule changed at all?
It has. It changed twice. I know it was supposed to be sometime around in April. And then they moved it to, I think, June or July. And then they just recently moved it again. So it's in September, September 13th. But because everything's, you know, it's still unsure, we're leaving the schedule on, but chances of it going back again, it may happen. I want to do the tour, but I hope everything goes normal. You know, I mean, it's been crazy lately here in Hawaii with the COVID cases. So I don't know how it is in the mainland right now.
Yeah.
But I just hope it all clears up. Yeah. So everybody can, you know, I know a lot of people sold out a bunch of shows. So,
yeah. And I recently saw you had a contest in regards to the new single that you had with Morning Time Awoya, where you had a lot of people, you know, do some really cool dancing. So what was that about?
So that was honestly, we weren't even thinking about doing a challenge. It was honestly so that there's that new app, the TikTok. I'm not really a social media guy. You know, I kind of just like to browse through every now and then. But I noticed my daughter has TikTok, and I ended up getting a TikTok. My wife got a TikTok, and then we just see a bunch of dances. So me and my wife actually came up with that dance, and we did it, and then her niece picked it up, and her niece just started doing it, and then her cousin started doing it. Next thing you know, it was still a challenge. Like, we had initially just said, let's do a challenge, just to do a challenge. No reward, but challenge, right?
Yeah.
And we did it, And then I guess we just got up with the idea where, hey, aren't we filming a music video for this? And they're like, yeah. It's like, you know what? Let's do a challenge where whoever wins the challenge, they can be in the music video.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing it, and we left it up to the people to vote. Everybody went on the website. They voted. And it was a close, if I'm not mistaken, the numbers of the top two were 2 votes apart. So it was super close.
So who ended up winning?
It was my wife's niece ended up winning. It was crazy. It was her and another fellow mate that I know here in Hawaii, his daughter. They're both around the same age too. Yeah, so it was crazy. It was a really close game.
And those were some sick dance moves. I saw the videos that were posting.
Yeah.
It's like from really big guys also doing the dancing.
Yeah,
those were some sick moves, man. You've had the awesome music video that's probably had a couple of millions of views right now, with the music video Love Me. But, you know,
right.
Just as you mentioned off air, that you were doing the video for Morning Time Awoya. So what can we expect from that new music video for that song?
This music video is going to be... honestly, it's just going to basically give the vibe that I felt when I wrote the song.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no specific reason or on the lyrics or anything. It was more so just a vibe. So like I said, in this quarantine, I've just been chilling with my fam. I've been trying to also listen to new music, like trying to get used to like what other people listen to, like country and all that other stuff. And one thing I came across was Afrobeat. And the Afrobeat style. And it's crazy because J-Book just released one too, The Steve of Mine. It's the exact same style. It's Afrobeat.
Okay.
So I was listening to it and I was like, man, I really like this style of music.
Yeah.
And I ended up just listening to it for like a few months. And I ended up writing a song and I sent it to my producer, my music manager, Clandon. I sent it to him. I was like, bro, can you make an Afrobeat to this? Like, I sent him a rough draft and he ended up killing it. I was like, bro, let's do it. I love the vibe. And, you know, everybody's in quarantine. Everybody's, like, kind of feeling down. Let's send this out there and just let them vibe out to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what it was. So in the music video, I kind of want to just send that vibe out of just, like, that island vibe of Aloha. You know, just, like, get everybody off their feet. You know, whatever you're going through, like, let's live to see another day and just have a good time in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an awesome song, man. So, and I've
Thank
heard,
you.
Yeah, and I heard that you probably are writing some new stuff, or you're creating some new stuff.
Yes.
So, can we expect any new singles, more videos from you this year?
I would love to push for another single by the end of this year. That'd be perfect. But all the it all depends on the numbers, how this song does right now. So,
I'm
looking forward to releasing more music because. I've actually written a bunch of songs, man. I've released 9 so far. But before my music career even started, before I released Come Around back in April of 2018, I actually wrote close to 80 songs.
Oh, wow.
And maybe half of those are like fully completed. Yeah. And the other half, just like a start, and I have it just ready to go. I like to write stuff. Like, I'm a night owl. Like, my schedule, I work the best around 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sleeping the whole day. Yeah. Like, I'm that type of guy. So I'm usually creating, writing around that time, just kind of letting my mind run free throughout that time. So, yeah, I write a lot of music every now and then. Sometimes I forget about them too.
Yeah.
I got to remember, write it down.
So for these songs, are you preparing for like a full-length album maybe this year coming up?
Maybe not this year. I would love to release an album next year with a bunch of new songs. But I definitely would love to have an album. That's the goal, of course. Just giving the audience and people that love my music and support me, I just want to give them just a whole full album, just a bunch of vibes. Yeah. People they go through different things, and all of my songs that I've written is things that I've gone through, you know, things that I've been through in my life, and I know a lot of people can relate. And so yeah, a lot of people ask me what is the recent one? Like, what is Morning Time? I was like, bro, we're in COVID.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be sad. I'm trying to enjoy this time, and let's just, I'm here till the morning, man. Let's have a good time. Let's just go.
That's an awesome song. You mentioned your TikTok, man, and I'm pretty new to TikTok as well, but checked out your TikTok and you post some really funny stuff, man. I'm cracking up through like all these video postings that you're doing with your TikTok, and
you're
pretty creative. I'll give you that, man. So how do you come up for the ideas for these videos?
Honestly, there's some where I've seen videos So I kind of mimic them and stuff like that. And there's some that I do come up on my own. I've always been a clown, man, since high school. I wasn't the class clown, but I've been noticed as one of the funny ones in the class to just do random stuff. And I actually, a long time ago, I had a friend who used to film us in a woodshop class where we used to build stuff. And I used to finish my project early so I could go and make YouTube videos. And we used to call ourselves the Bullshit Productions. And I used to just literally just do comedy in the classroom. Like, it was crazy. Our teacher would, like, he told me, if you finish your work, I can't say nothing. You know, you finish your work, whatever, you build whatever you got to build, I can't say anything. You can chill in the classroom and make your video. So I literally had, like, a good following in high school on just being crazy and funny. That was it.
Well, you mentioned those old YouTube videos, Bullshit Productions, and I actually saw some of those videos. Even those videos were pretty hilarious. Yeah, you're pretty much the star of that show over there.
it's funny. It was fun. You know, we were young. We just loved to be creative in the class. And yeah, that was one of my favorite things to do, just being hilarious, making people laugh.
Oh, and yeah, it shows, man, like your comedy style. People haven't seen those videos or even your TikTok, and they didn't know who, like, didn't know your personality at all. Like, they should just watch them and see.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You have potential in comedy, man.
Right. It's funny because I've met a lot of people in the industry so far. I'm a pretty big dude, man. I'm about 285 pounds, about 5'11". So, and I'm not always smiling. Like, sometimes when I'm hot, I'm from California, so when it's hot outside here in Hawaii, my face is not always the prettiest, man. I'm like just looking around, you know? So it's funny because when people see me, I see a lot of people just look at me and they're like, hey, that's Theo, but he seems kind of mad, this and that. And then they meet me and I'm like, nah, I'm a good guy, bro. Yeah. I'm cool, bro. Don't worry.
Well, check out my TikTok. This is...
Right? No, for real, yeah.
And I saw, like, you and your boys, you had some, like, sign or something like that. Like,
so what it is, sorry, let me try to get this up. So this is the bull, right? This is the bull here, and this is his shit coming out.
I was
wondering, what's that mean? It's Bullshit, Bullshit Production. What it was.
Oh, man, it makes sense. So, I mean, those videos came out, like, maybe all in 1 year.
It was literally... that class that we had, I remember it was my sixth period of my sophomore year of high school, and I didn't even know any of the guys in that class except for one who was my actual classmate. Everybody else was just random that we just had that elective, and we just linked up quick, man. Everybody, like I said, it was in the beginning, everybody thought I was this kind of guy, this big dude, just mean mugging, and then we got to know each other. Next thing you know, we're making videos, and we're like the best of friends throughout that whole year.
Yeah.
So
we're singing too, man.
Just
like comedy, you were singing. Yeah. I mean, you were showing potential, and this was like, I think the video is like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was around 2009, my sophomore year. Yeah.
Yeah. Those videos and the TikTok videos, man, just had it up the whole time.
I just love to, man, it's good to just express, you know, just have that feeling towards everyone, you know. Just to, I like to clear up the room, of course. So if I'm in a room where everybody's kind of like, you know, I like to break ice, I'll break ice. You know what I mean? All right, fellas, let's have some good vibes in this room, you know?
Oh, that's cool. So since this whole quarantine, a lot of people have been doing live shows, and I know you recently did a live show. So can we expect more from you soon?
I would love to. Yeah. I would love to. I know. My management is in the talks with a lot of different companies, just to like get some shows out there for the audience, of course. And shout out to Theatrics. They just had me recently over there. It was a good vibe. A lot of the people that streamed in, they had a good time, and that actually gave me the whole scene again. Like, even though there was no one there and it was just cameras, I felt energy. Like, it just felt so good. Yeah, it felt really good because they actually had like a big old screen, like a big screen TV right next to me, and I could see of what was going on the live feed. Nice. So while I'm singing, I see like a bunch of people just going off, and I just felt like, I felt the energy. Like, the band was killing it. I felt good because it's been a couple months since I've been on the stage again. So yeah, I just love the energy, and I can't wait to do another live stream, man.
And since you're working on music this year and coming up, Are you planning any future collaborations? Because you've been touring with some big names and working with some big names.
I would love to do some collaborations, man. I'm one of those guys who I write like by myself. Like, I'm not saying I can't write with anyone, but I probably write the best when I'm by myself to like just to start off. And then when I start a song, I love to take it to someone and let them write their part. You know what I mean? Like, you do this, and then, like, so I did one. I wrote a song that I'm hoping to release probably the end of this year, if not the beginning of next year. And I wrote it, and I left the second verse open for one of my favorite groups. And I'm hoping we could release it, because I've been a fan of them since high school. And I actually did a tour with them on I think it was January 2019. I went on tour with them, and it was The Green. So I have a song with them right now. It's sitting. It's waiting. I'm hoping that we can release it this year. If not, next year would be perfect.
Yeah, I love The Green, man. The Green.
That's one of my favorites.
Are there any other artists out there that you are maybe wanting to collaborate sometime soon?
Yeah, if there's another artist that I could collaborate with right now, man, it would probably be the legend, the pioneer of island reggae music, of course, to me, and that's Fiji. I've done a few tours with him, you know, just here and there in Samoa, and his mind. I love picking at his brain. Like, when we would just sit down and have lunch, have a few drinks. I love when he speaks on music. I love when he speaks on inspirations or reasons for music itself. And I take that serious, man. Like, I don't know if it's just another talk for him and stuff like that, but I'll sit there and I'll milk it, man. I'll milk it as much as I can, and I'll take it out like a sponge. I just love his mindset and why he does it and how he does it. So if there is anyone that I could do it with right now, it would be him. It would definitely be Fiji.
Well, you mentioned sponging off some of his wisdom. So what do you think some of the most important stuff?
It would have to be the business side of music. Coming into this game, I was maybe like 25. I was just about to be 25 years old. And I just wanted to get out there, release some music, and be living the dream, you know? Mm-hmm. Buy a big old house. Like, I want to go out there and like take care of my family, which is always the good thing, you know?
Yeah.
But there's things that you have to do and understand in the music in order for everything to come through and follow the way that you want it to. And one of the things that I've learned from him, the biggest thing that I've learned from him, was identity. And we had this one drunk talk a long time ago. It was so funny. We were talking, and he asked me, he was like, what do you want to do? What type of music do you like to do? Because he knows I love R&B music, man.
Yeah.
If I could do R&B music right now, I would do it. And but I also love reggae. So he asked me, what do I want to do? And I told him I wanted to do R&B music. And he told me, then you're in the wrong place. And I was like, nah, I think I could do it. You know, he's like, if you want to do R&B music, you're in the wrong place. You have to know your identity. You have to know where you're at. You have to know who you are and what you want to do. And he was like, so are you going to do reggae? I was like, oh, I'm going to do reggae too. He was like, then you're still confused on what you want to do. You could do both. You could do both. But what are the chances of you actually committing to one and giving your 100%? Because one day I could be like, I want to do reggae today and I'm killing it. And I'm almost done with that song. And the next day I was like, ah, let's do some R&B. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not fully committing to that genre, that giving the respect that that genre needs in order for it to be its full potential. And I learned that from him. And since then, it's just been everything I do today. I want to make sure that I'm not cutting corners. You know, I don't want to cut corners. I want to make sure that if I release something, it's something that I really love, whether everyone loves it or not. It's something that I really, really love. And I released it for a reason, or I did it for a reason. And yeah, it's just knowing who I am in this music industry.
Continue on about, you know, hanging out with Fiji. And I told you off air, I lived in Fiji for a bit. So I would assume that he drinks a lot of kava for, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fiji. So whenever we land in Samoa, that's my homeland, you know. So whenever we're in Samoa, he has family. That you would trip out on how much the population of Fijians that live there.
Oh, yeah.
And they speak the language itself. Mm-hmm. Not only their Fijian language, but their Samoan language. So when we land there, he always has his cousin. she comes out and she'll bring kava and we'll just sit at the table as soon as we get off the plane and just fight kava the whole night. Oh, it's amazing. Good vibes, good tunes, you know?
I love doing kava all night. I've been in some sessions where it would go, and I'm not kidding, like, especially for funerals or birthdays.
Yep. You're
talking about days. Like, non-stop. Like, I've...
Everybody's just vibing to the guitar and then just, like, in the zone. Yeah.
Kava, I mean, it gets too much because you're talking about a lot of muddy water and stuff. Like,
dehydration. Skin all dry and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And makes you sleep all day, man. Those were the good times. I go to kava bars every once in a while, but I mean, with this whole quarantine situation, I avoid, you know, going to bars. And I miss going, like, having some kava, or I order some kava.
Yeah.
Have friends over and we'll still drink it every once in a while.
Right. I've tasted some good kava in Samoa, man. Like, I haven't really tasted a really, really strong batch here in Hawaii. I know there is, but I don't really drink here at home anyways, but whenever I'm on the islands of Samoa, man, that kava is...
Oh, yeah.
It'll get you there, man. That thing is there. It's the roots.
Yeah. I know Samoa and Vanuatu is supposed to have, like, the strongest.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
So before you actually started doing music full-time, and you mentioned that you're a big guy, but you were actually a bouncer at a club. So how did you come from doing that into actually doing music full-time?
You know, I've always been in the music scene. I've just never been, like, professionally in the music scene. I've always, I was getting paid to do music before. I was actually in a group. Going into my junior year of high school, I was in a group called H-Tray, and it was one of the local bands here. We had a bunch of original music, but none released. We just wrote a bunch of songs, but we did a bunch of bar gigs and... we just did a lot of parties, you know, and our group was really, really known for covers. Like, we did a bunch of covers, and we do a bunch of our own arrangements to the song, and people loved it. And we joined a bunch of contests, like the Mai Tai Rumble or the Battle of the Bands, and we won a lot of them, and we were just well known for it. And I think our mindset at the time, we were all young. I was about 16 years old, and I was the youngest. Everyone, the other three singers, they had just graduated like around 2007. So our mindset towards the whole thing was we couldn't wait for the weekends because we had a gig, make some quick money, go have a few drinks after, go check out Zippies, and we're good. Like, you know, and none of it had the drive towards the future goal, the traveling. We wanted to tour, of course. We wanted to travel, but we didn't know how to do those things. And I feel like if we had the mindset, if we actually had the right plan to do it, we would definitely be far right now. Because that was a group of talented men, man. They were super talented. Today, the keyboard player of that group, Eric Peterson, that's my cousin, and Clandon Fatali, who's my music producer now, he plays guitar for me. They're the only two that's still with me today with my group, with me. They've always been the ones to push me, even after that group fell off and I went to just starting with my 9-to-5 job, you know, just working. I used to climb towers, actually, before I was bouncing. I was a tower dog. I used to put up antennas for, like, AT&T, Sprint, all those different phone services. Yeah. And I ended up quitting that job. Just had some family things going on for me. I lost sight of everything, like what I wanted to do. So I started getting into a lot of bad stuff. I got into a lot of things behind the bouncing scene where doing some really bad stuff. And every time I seen the club, when I'm at the club and I'm working security, I would see Eric and Clandon and like a bunch of other people that I did know.
Yeah.
They're performing, like Johnny Sweet. You know of Johnny Sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Johnny Sweet, me and him were the same age, and we played football. We were different schools, but here in Hawaii, we do this all-star game where they grab, like, certain players from each school to represent the all-star team, and this East versus West. And for our West side, I played defensive end, and Elijah, Johnny Sweet, was our safety. And that was when I met him, and it's crazy because years later, I'm working the club, and he's singing. And I'm like, hey, I remember you, man. He's like, hey, yeah, I remember you. He's asking me, you still play football? I'm like, nah, bro, I'm bouncing. I see you doing music, man. That's amazing. He's like, bro, you should really get back to music. I was like, nah, I'm good. I think I'll chill. But every weekend, I'm there at the club. So they would remind me. bro, you're in the wrong place. Like, come do music with us. Come do music with us. So I ended up, just losing some family members and like really threw me off in my life. And I needed those people to come and help me out because I've even had like problems going on in my own home with me and my family, my wife and my kids. Mm-hmm. I could have easily lost my kids just because, you know, I was just doing bad things. And God blessed me with just such a strong lady and good people to surround around me, just to kind of remind me of who I am. And I ended up going back to music. I jumped back to music. I told Clandon, here's a song. Let me know if you can produce it better. You know, I gave him a little draft and he ended up producing it. And that song dropped in April. And I quit my regular job in January of 2018. Okay. And I told him, quit everything. Security, regular job, I'll quit right now. And I'll give you my 100% if you can help me. And I quit January. And we met up with a good guy who sponsored my first song. His name is Ray Pulu. Mm-hmm. He owns Island White Furniture over here in Hawaii. And he's an amazing guy. Trusted in me and just believed in my view and what I wanted to do. And I guess he seen the drive in me. Like, I wasn't trying to go back, you know. I knew I messed up a lot in life and I needed to get out of it. So he's a good person. He helped me, funded my first project, quit my job in January. April came 2018 and I released Come Around. Ever since then, I've been doing music for a living, taking care of my family.
That's awesome. And interesting, you mentioned Johnny Sweet, that you knew him back then. And I saw, I think you probably did interviews with him or you've actually done some collaboration with music. So that's, you know, funny.
He's one guy that I hold very dear to me, man. He's one of the guys that pushes me, not only in music, but as a person, to be a better father, to be a better brother, you know, to just kind of uplift me when I'm, I have my days, you know, I have my days where I'm like, man, I don't feel like working today, man.
Yeah.
But he has a good head on his shoulders and he's very strong-minded and he has to remind me that I am too. And I just gotta keep on pushing on. And he has his EP that he just released last year, Keep It Moving. And it basically just, it's motivation. That thing speaks motivation to everyone. And it was just nominated for Album of the Year. So it just announced today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's amazing. Yeah.
And I've listened to other interviews before, and you also won a few awards last year, which congratulations on that. And I've heard you give a lot of props to a friend or I think your current producer, and you've mentioned a lot that he's been very impactful in your career. So how was he so impactful?
So that's the one I was talking about, Clandon. I would see him every time at the club. He was one of the guys who pulled me out of my bad stage. He played for a lot of groups, such as J-Bug, Jimmy Weeks Project. I forgot their group name. They were together back in the day when I was working the club. He was playing with like a bunch of guys like Pono, then Mr. Shunt, and then he would just see me at this. I was just working security, standing by the bar, checking IDs, you know.
Yeah.
And some of them would just come there and be like, "So you don't want to do music?" I was like, "Nah, I'm good." And he's like, "Well, you should really do music because you're very, very talented." And then we would have random conversations where he's like, "Have you heard this song? This and that." I'm like, I'm not a huge fan of that song. The radio has been playing like all right songs lately. He was like, "Well, you can change that." Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he would like find a way to put it in my head. And I'm like, "Bro, I'm good." He's like, I'm just saying. And it was just repetitive. Just every single weekend, just hitting me up. And I thought about it every time. Every time I went home that night, I would think about it. Even nights where I was super drunk, but I should have been home, but I wasn't home and I was out and caused big arguments with me and my wife, of course.
Yeah.
And those were the times where I really think about it, like, man, what am I doing? You know? And then his thoughts, his talks would come in my mind and just like, yeah, I need to stop. I need to fix what's going on right now and do something better. Cause at that time I only had my daughter and she was about 3 years old, I think. Yeah. She was around two, 3 years old. And, I just had to be a better father for him, man. I just needed to fix myself. So he was one of those, like I said, would text me like almost every day to irritate me, like almost irritate me. Like, dude, I have a beef for you. I was like, I don't want it. Like, yeah, just random. He was like, all right, just letting you know I have one. Actually, I have two. Yeah, it's like. So yeah, I'm getting like, you know what? Here, I'll send you this song. It's a draft. It's on GarageBand. Fix it up. And we'll see from there. He created it. He sent it to me. He made that guitar line for Come Around. And I'm like, yo, that's pretty cool, man. That's honestly really, really cool.
Yeah.
And from just, man, yeah, we just took off. We just did our thing and just blessed to have it.
I'm glad it worked out, man. I mean, especially since you're sharing a little bit about your backstory and how it was a little difficult. And I mean, here now you're doing big things and, you know, producing such great music, man. I mean, all of your music's great, but I'm a big fan of Love Me, especially when the music video came out. I mean, that song is sick. As soon as I heard it, man, I didn't let that stop. I just had it replay all the time, man.
It's crazy because that song was, I wrote that song maybe, I'd say 3 months, around 3 to 4 months before I released it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a song that we were looking to release, you know? So I released Come Around in April. And around that time, I already had written the song Love Me, but I was aiming to release another song. And me, like I said, me and my wife was just going through things. And the music scene, it helped me get out of the bad times in my life. But at the same time, it's a hard life for a person to live that's married, you know? Yeah. We travel a lot, do a lot of things. We have a lot of shows to go to. And so it was still tough. It's still tough till today. But I ended up thinking about just releasing that song because it meant a lot to me. I did write it for my wife. You know, it talks about going through things, but knowing the reasons why you're still there, why you do it, why do you continue to love the person that you love. And it was my dedication to her to let her know that no matter what she goes through, I'm still here. You know, I know this life it's hard, man. I tell a lot of people, if you're married or whatever, and you're married to a musician, it's a hard life to live. And I know that for a fact, because while I'm out, I miss my kids, and I look and I see my wife working hard to keep these kids fed while I'm gone. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to just send the money home, you know, it's one thing, but to actually go through it, it's hard. And I respect my wife for it. And I just pray that God continues to bless her because she's a strong woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, man.
Yeah, automatic, man.
Well, Fia, so we're at a recurring segment in this podcast called Words of Wisdom. So this question is, share with us a quote that you live by and tell us why.
Okay. As I mentioned before, I learned a lot from this guy, of course, Fiji.
Yeah.
And like I said, whatever he says, man, I soak it in. And one quote that he told me once, and he also said it in the video when he did like this Fala Talks quite a while ago. I don't know when it was, but he said this when we were drinking in Samoa, having a few and just like, what I wanted in life, you know. I told him I wanted to, one day I do want to have a big house and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to like look back and take care of my family and be able to chill and relax on my music. And one thing he told me was, in this industry, you're going to give a lot, you're going to get a little, but the little that you get is going to be worth everything that you give. Hmm. So I've always lived by that, you know. In life, giving is always a good thing, you know, to always give, and expecting something back to me is always going to disappoint you at times, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel that quote means a lot because like you said, you're going to give everything you got sometimes. And sometimes you feel like that's the one and you get back crap.
Yeah.
Or you get back just like this much, but he told just that much, just know that much is worth it all. That's it. He explains that a lot of people do music because they want the fame, they want the money, they want to do this, they want to do that, and that quote, I live by it because it humbles you and it reminds you of why you do music and who we are as Polynesians. I am a Samoan, and we have our population of Polynesian people, and for him to remind me that it's up to us, you know, it's up to us as music, as artists, to continue island reggae music, you know, push it to its full potential. And whether we hit mainstream or not, you know, we don't need to. And he always emphasizes that we don't need to hit mainstream. We have enough people in our communities, in our cultures to support us, you know. Yeah. And I've always lived by that quote because it's humbling, like I said. And I just love that quote forever. I've always loved that quote.
Thanks for sharing a quote from
The great, the legend himself.
Yeah, the legend himself. Wow, that's awesome. Well, Fia, before we wrap, is there anything you want to share with our listeners?
To everybody that's listening to the Ivory Trap, man, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate you, Joel, for just having me, just to have this chat. You know, I don't really go out much. I'm here with my family, so just to go talk about some music is always awesome, man. So I appreciate you having me. Everybody tuning in, thank you so much for tuning in. And you guys are amazing, and can't wait to release more music so you guys can vibe up.
You're amazing, man. Like, keep up with those TikTok videos, dude.
You know what? It's funny because I took a break for a while because I was actually focusing on like working out and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I just recently got that because when I came back from New Zealand just recently, I did the One Love. I went up there and I think I was like 270. I came back at 295.
Oh, wow.
And I was only there for 3 days. I'm not even joking, bro. I'm not even joking. Yeah. What? So since then, I've just like fixed my health. This quarantine, I can't use it as an excuse to eat. So yeah, been lately just been trying to get back down on my weight and just kind of live a healthy lifestyle. I've lost like a few of my family members to bad health, so I've been making it a real, just emphasizing it to the rest of my siblings. I'm the youngest of nine.
Oh wow!
So just for me to push, I just gotta push, you know, because then just it'll help my family, my sisters. I have one brother and five sisters left. My other two brothers, they left this world, and it's bad health, man. It's as much as we don't want to think that way, and you just gotta be real with yourself.
Yeah.
The health it's an issue for us Polynesians, and if you're listening out there, if you're a Polynesian, man, let's take care of our health. Let's live longer for our kids, for our people, and just to live to see more memories, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, Theo, man, it's been a pleasure. Again, such a big fan, and I appreciate you joining us on the show and, you know, sharing that wisdom and just talking about yourself from the bottom of my heart. Appreciate it. But, Theo, thank you so much for joining us on Ivory Chat, and best of luck on everything.
Thank you so much, Joel. I appreciate you.
Our Ivory Chat with Theo. Make sure to follow all his socials. You may find more information in the show notes. Please rate our podcast and let us know what you think of it. Hope you stay safe under quarantine. To keep yourself occupied, go ahead and catch our other interviews. To end this episode, I thought I'd play one of my favorite songs from Theo called Love Me. Thanks for listening to our Ivory Chat, and I'll see you soon.